This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We feel like that competition has been outstanding. I didn't say that Jacoby would not play. I didn't say that we aren't going to trust him and that he's not going to come in the games and help us win.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
What's up? I'm Josh Graham, in for Adam today. That was Mac Brown. Believe me, we'll be talking about Tar Heel quarterbacks as, looking at my watch, 2 days away from week zero, the Tar Heels playing Florida A&M at Keenan Stadium. And being in this chair talking to you might be the most exciting thing that's happened to me this year. Well, second most exciting thing. I got married a couple of months ago.
I was about to say, is your wife listening?
Wife's not going to appreciate that. We've been on for about a minute, and I've already screwed things up. That's the voice of Dennis Cox, who's producing today's show. But here's why I'm so excited, Dennis. I grew up listening to 99.9 The Fan and remembered when it flipped from country to sports some years ago.
Okay.
In fact, this morning, I'm sure my dad's going to appreciate this, I was visiting with my dad in Youngsville, and he was still in bed listening to this station. Also, we're on in a place that's close to my heart, Greenville, America. Shouts to the folks in the 252, 94.3 The Game. I hosted afternoons a couple years there. It's the first week of classes in Greenville, so I'm sure nobody's hanging out at Sup Dogs this week. And this show, also on in a place I work now, in the Triad. Triad, part of the state, WSJS. So it's very exciting for me. But you know what else is exciting, Dennis?
What's that?
Getting out of the gate. Okay, the stage is set for Bills-Panthers tomorrow night, Bank of America Stadium. The first time the Panthers have played a competitive football game in that stadium for the 2022 season. Get excited. The Panther starters expected to play into the second quarter of this game. Most of the Bills starters will not be playing, according to former Panthers DC, who's now Buffalo's coach, of course, Sean McDermott. Did you know that the Buffalo Bills are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl? They are the favorites. I don't know how I feel about that. Got some doubts about it. You lose your offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll, who's now the head coach of the Giants. A familiar name in Charlotte, or among Panther fans, or I guess, if we're going to claim Miami in the early 2000s, Hurricanes fans as well. Ken Dorsey is the offensive coordinator. I don't think he's going to wreck the Porsche, but is he going to be as good as Brian Daboll was? I think that remains to be seen. We've seen many instances in sports where you sit in a chair too high. You know, a lot of people make fun of Ben McAdoo, for example. He's the Panthers head coach. The Panthers offensive coordinator, excuse me. But a lot of people don't like him because he was not successful as the Giants head coach once upon a time. Make fun of the mustache, make fun of the hair, all of that. But the only reason you become a head coach in the NFL is because at one time you were a really good coordinator. So maybe he's a great coordinator, but going down the line, just because you were a good quarterbacks coach like Ken Dorsey was, once upon a time Cam Newton's quarterbacks coach, does not necessarily mean you're going to be a great offensive coordinator. That's my one concern with the Bills, because when you look at the roster, Dennis, not a lot of holes in it. As promised, getting to North Carolina Tar Heel football. Mac Brown continued to update us on Drake May's first week as North Carolina starting quarterback. Oh, wait. Mac wouldn't use the word starter. As North Carolina's first quarterback that's going to run on the field Saturday night. There's Mac.
Yesterday was good. I thought he was great today. And give Jacoby credit. He's been great both days. He's gone back to work. He's competed. He understands that he's a snap away from being the guy and being out there. And he's responded to that really well. You never know how people are going to respond to adversity.
Given North Carolina's circumstance, I think Drake May was the right guy to start. I don't follow high school recruiting that closely, but it's not hard to see who has the more athletic upside between Drake May and Jacoby Criswell. Jacoby Criswell, I think, was the 250th ranked player in that general ballpark coming out of high school, according to 24/7. Drake May was top 50, top 55, once committed to Nick Saban in Alabama. So if it's close, go with the younger guy, but also go with the guy who's a bit of a playmaker, a dual threat. When you lose British Brooks for the season like North Carolina has in this preseason camp, and you lose Antoine Green for the first month at wide receiver, and you don't have a lot of depth there, playmaker at quarterback. That's probably the way to go, and I think that's why Drake May is the starter. Tonight, NFL preseason action. Could we have a Super Bowl preview between the Packers and Kansas City? If it was 2021, I'd probably say that's the case. A lot of question marks for both these teams in 2022. Dennis, who has more concerns going into the year? Green Bay or Kansas City? This game's going to be on NFL Network, by the way.
Yes. What concerns are there? Legitimately, what concerns are there? My opinion, none.
Well, Green Bay, you don't have Devontae Adams there anymore.
Okay.
You don't have Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, who's now Russell Wilson's coach in Denver. And Kansas City also lost an all-pro wide receiver in Tyreek Hill. So they're going to have to figure out whether or not Mecole Hardman can take a big step up. And if Juju Smith-Schuster can help supplement some of that production of being that guy. I think it'll be a lot harder to do that in Kansas City than Green Bay because Tyreek Hill is a unique player. That word's often used loosely. People say unique when they mean rare. Rare means few. Unique means one. There's nobody else in the league like Tyreek Hill. That's going to be tough to replace. When you got Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback, whether it's Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb, or someone else, I think you'll figure it out. But I would be a little worried about Nathaniel Hackett's impact on this offense now that he's in Denver. Also in those divisions, watch out for the Vikings, watch out for the Chargers. Packers, Chiefs, NFL Network tonight. Let's talk baseball. Last night, I was watching my Baltimore Orioles. Had a chance with the bases loaded. They were down a run or two. Of course, they grounded to a double play. Lost to the Chicago White Sox and company. There are two big home run races that we're following. Home run races make baseball fun. Whether it's the roided up Sammy Sosa versus Mark McGwire 25 years ago, or the totally not roided up Aaron Judge and Albert Pujols. I'm not making allegations here. I'm sure they're clean. But both those guys making baseball very fun. Let's start with Albert Pujols. Last night, he sat at 693, and he's still at 693. He did double in the game. Made people pretty excited. You don't see 42-year-old Albert Pujols legging out too many doubles nowadays. But
maybe a ground rule double.
With about 40 games left to go, he's three homers away from Alex Rodriguez. He is seven home runs away from 700. The only guys to hit the 700 home run mark in baseball history, some guys named Ruth, Aaron, and Barry Bonds. The Cubs are hosting the Cardinals for an afternoon game today at 2:20. Getting to the other home run race real quick while I'm talking baseball. Aaron Judge Didn't play yesterday. He's still at 48. A couple days ago, he had a home run against the Mets to get to 48. He's trying to get to 61, which was the Roger Maris record set by the Yankee slugger in the early 60s. And if he's able to get there, there are still some in baseball that consider that to be the clean home run record, since Sosa and McGuire and Bonds are the only guys who exceeded Maris's mark. With 40 games roughly left to go, Aaron Judge chasing that too. Another NFL note. Tyron Smith appeared to tear a hammy at practice yesterday. You don't want to tear those, Dennis.
Ouch.
He's going to be out several months. I have no idea how to read the NFC East. No clue. Everybody says it should be the Eagles, but I get Arizona Cardinal vibes from them. And this is what I mean by that. If you look at their team on paper, you think, well, this team's going to be awesome. Are you kidding me? All these skill position players? But then you find out that football's not played in a fantasy sense or played on paper.
Wait, it's not?
Breaking news. We're reporting that at 12:11 here on this Thursday afternoon. So I have a little bit more faith in Dallas than I do Philly, I think, to win that division. Even though there really isn't a justifiable way to say that Dallas is going to be better than they were a year ago after losing Amari Cooper, now dealing with an injury to Tyron Smith and replacing some starters on defense. Pretty big news today, as Dak Prescott's life probably going to become a little bit more difficult without big Tyron at tackle. How about we stay in the NFL and hear from a new Carolina Panther by way of the Cleveland Browns? No, I'm not talking about Baker Mayfield. I'm talking about wide receiver Rashard Higgins. He's the one that had that touchdown pass or touchdown catch in DC that Sam Darnold threw. He looks like he's going to be a really good pickup for Carolina. And by all accounts, seems to be a decent guy, a delightful person to talk to. He spoke to the media for the first time and let us in on who Baker Mayfield is. Maybe something we didn't know about Baker Mayfield until Rashard Higgins shared it with us.
We don't know about Baker Mayfield. The people out there don't know about him.
Baker's really good at Call of Duty, and I hate to say that right now, but you know what? He gave me a hard time, but although we'd be on the game, and he's pretty good at Call of Duty, bro.
Not as good as you, though.
Nah, he ain't good as me.
You hear that? Baker Mayfield.
There's a missed follow-up question on this.
What would you have followed up with?
All right, what's your kill-death ratio?
Yeah, prove it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You think you're good at it.
We play right. COD 2.
Give me the stats.
Baker Mayfield. You know, gunslinger on the football field. And apparently a gunslinger in video games as well. What would be that video game for Dennis Cox that if you put yourself on the sticks,
oh wow,
you're going to do some work in?
Oh, that's a great question.
For me, NHL 09.
Okay. I'd say maybe an NHL game, actually. With
the sports one that had Eric Staal on the cover.
Yes.
Back when I was such a nerd. This is back when I was listening to 99.9 The Fan a lot in high school. And I may or may not have been top 100 ranked in the world at NHL 09.
All right.
Yeah, if you want those hands, woo, that's probably the one I go to. What you know about me? What you know about me? Getting back to Drake May, who is the Tar Heels' starting quarterback, or wait, first quarterback to run out on the field Saturday,
yes,
to use Mac Brown's terminology. I don't know if you know this. His brother is Luke May. Yeah. Luke May plays basketball in Spain, is going to join this show in 15 minutes. So make sure you're around for that. When I think of Mac Brown, I think of somebody who's really friendly. He's like your grandpa, your friendly grandpa. Great when he comes on the show, very polite, very accessible. When I heard his press conference Monday, I don't think I've ever seen Mac Brown as uncomfortable as he was in that spot, telling us who the Tar Heels starter, or wait, the guy who's going to be running on the field first on Saturday night. He wouldn't use the term starter. He was, sometimes we think press conferences are for the fans. Sometimes people in the media think that the guy's just talking to us. I think coaches have specific people they want to reach with the pressers. And on Monday, when he was announcing the quarterback, it felt like that entire presser was tailored towards Jacoby Criswell. Listen, you're going to play. Oh, we won't rip him out after a three and out, but if he's not driving the offense, we're going to put the other guy in. Please don't transfer. Please, please.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. I know he's younger than you. Just please don't. He even said this. We redshirted Dre Bly. We sat Josh Downs longer than we should have. I redshirted Julius Peppers. All of that is true, but the major difference in all those instances, you could play multiple corners. You could play multiple wide receivers and DNs. As long as Drake May is in Chapel Hill and starting football games, Jacoby Criswell's not going to be on the field. So it's a fair concern on Mac's part. It's understandable, especially as, I don't know if you follow it, you probably do pretty closely, they had a number of wide receivers and linebackers to transfer out in the portal this past year, and they're a lot thinner at those spots than they care to be. So I understand why Mac would feel that way, wanting to keep some depth there and keep both Drake May and Jacoby Criswell happy. Choose your I said that we had a Super Bowl preview, a potential Super Bowl preview tonight in the NFL in the preseason. There's actually another one I think checks that box too that we have tonight too, Dennis Cox. Mm. The Houston Texans are playing the San Francisco 49ers.
Let's go.
Woo! Get ready.
Here we go, Houston fans. Get your tickets.
Arizona, book your tickets. Caleb Mills versus...
Is that his name, Caleb?
That's right. Versus Trey Lance. I couldn't tell you where Caleb Mills went to school.
Is it Davis Mills?
No, it is Davis Mills.
See? Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I should get to know him now.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be playing in the Super Bowl.
Second-year quarterbacks, folks.
Getting back to KC.
Actually, I want to know who Caleb Mills actually is.
Yeah, I would like to learn more about Caleb Mills, if possible.
Oh, I mean the former Florida State basketball player, Caleb Mills?
Oh, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from North Carolina.
It's pretty easy to figure out Buffalo is the favorite in the AFC because they're the Super Bowl favorites. Who's the favorite in the NFC? Because they're all flawed. You read this stuff about Matthew Stafford's elbow, it scares you off about the defending champs. They haven't had a first-round pick since Jared Goff in 2016. That might catch up with you eventually. No OBJ this year. Tampa Bay is losing all their interior O-linemen. And Tom Brady has had an ominous offseason. A suspicious offseason. And he's approaching his mid-40s. And you look at some... We already talked about Green Bay losing Nathaniel Hackett and losing Devontae Adams. San Fran, what is Trey Lance going to be? I don't know. You don't know. Anybody who claims to know, I call them a liar. And Dallas is losing guys left and right, too. So who is the favorite in the NFC? Honestly, don't know the answer.
But that's the fun of it, though.
Oh, it is. That's the secret sauce of the NFL. Unlike the NBA, certainly unlike college football, so many fan bases can believe they have a shot. There are only four teams in the NFC I know for sure aren't going to be playoff teams. Seattle, Atlanta, they both know. The Detroit Lions, they know. And the New York Giants, they know. Those are the teams that know. Maybe the Atlanta Falcons too. They know. Everybody else feels like they have a shot, the Carolina Panthers included. Choose your character. Getting to the NBA, Chet Holmgren going to be out for the season due to a Liz Frank injury. All of us in the state of North Carolina are now Liz Frank experts because of what happened to Cam Newton and Matt Corral in the last few years. So we know all about Liz and Frank. Now Chet Holmgren's out. This is the part that frustrates me about Chet Holmgren, though, the way that he's talked about. As soon as the injury was announced, all I see on my Twitter feed is, well, you know, it's his body type. You know that this is something that was going to happen. Look how skinny he is. Really? Most times when you get a Liz Frank injury, it's because someone stepped on your foot. Last I checked, working to confirm this, whether you're 7'1" or 5'1", you can have your foot stepped on. Let's not leap to conclusions here. We do this with Zion Williamson too. Oh, Zion's a bust. He's way too big. He's never gonna play. He's through 3 years, already has been an NBA All-Star, and he's played almost three times as many games as Joel Embiid did his first 3 years. Do you think the Philadelphia Sixers would have it back, taking Joel Embiid? Of course not. So when you talk about these freakazoids like Zion, like Joel Embiid, and yes, like Chet Holmgren, maybe let's not leap to conclusions with 18 and 19-year-olds saying that their careers are likely finished, or that they're going to be bust, or that they're not going to be able to make it because of their body type until we have a little bit more of a sample size. A crazy thought, I know. What you know about me? What you know about me? And one more thing to get to. This happened late last night, Dennis. I don't know if you caught it. Pat Bev is now a Los Angeles Laker.
Yeah.
The first two thoughts that came across my mind when I saw this headline. Number one, going to be awkward sharing a building with the Clippers. He does that now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Those games are going to become a lot of fun. And there's no way that they're going to keep Russell Westbrook there, right? They're like sworn enemies, Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley.
Even more reason to keep them.
Oh, you got to find out a way to move them.
Nah.
Give me a local tie to this.
Well, the Timberwolves, I believe he went undrafted, but they signed Isaiah Miller out of UNC Greensboro.
That's right.
Timberwolves, he's been playing with their G League team for at least last season he did.
Isaiah Miller was Wes Miller's best player.
Yeah.
At UNCG.
Two-time SoCon Defensive Player of the Year.
Bouncy.
And also Player of the Year in the SoCon as well. Went to the NCAA tournament, almost beat Florida State in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
To UNCG. So he's been kind of groomed to be their next Patrick Beverley. That strong defensive player, kind of scrappy, but can do a little bit of everything for you. Does this give him an inside to making the roster this upcoming year?
I would love that.
Be great for Isaiah.
Because he was such a player. He's one of those guys, when you see him walk up, you don't think he's worth much.
Yeah.
You certainly don't think he can get up the way that he does. But that guy's been overachieving his entire basketball life. So I'm not in the business of doubting Isaiah Miller. That'll be interesting with Minnesota. Slightly less interesting, though, than trying to figure out how Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley are going to coexist in L.A.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Oh, make them room together. That's what I want.
The cup is just overflowing today.
Mm-hmm.
It is. That's what we got for Out of the Gate today. Just a ton of topics. I thought in August it was slow. It's not a lot of stuff going on. I thought that was supposed to be the case.
Yeah.
Like, Kurt Busch going to miss the start of the NASCAR playoffs. Djokovic not going to play in the U.S. Open because he refuses to get vaccinated. A lot of stuff that we get to talk about on today's show. But I think the fact that North Carolina is playing this week makes the Tar Heels particularly compelling to me. And the fact that Drake May is the starting quarterback, it's still astounding to me. Like, how many Tar Heels, let's just limit it to the 21st century, so the last 22 years, how many Tar Heels are more popular than Luke May? How many? More than five? Like, yeah, Hansborough, okay. Danny Green, cue the jump around. Marcus Page, sure.
Maybe Baycott right now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a very long list. And that guy's brother is not only playing for the football team, not only starting for the football team, he's starting at quarterback. And his dad was a starting quarterback at Carolina. It's an unbelievable story. So 2 days before Drake May starts for the first time in Chapel Hill, Luke May is going to join this show. I am not Adam Gold. Josh Graham in for AG today and tomorrow. Where we go to Spain, I believe. We are now chatting with Luke May, who plays basketball in Spain. That is where we're talking to you now, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so help me figure this out. Saturday night, North Carolina is going to kick things off at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Keenan. And I know this because my sister lived in Madrid for much of last year. It is a six-hour difference between where we're at right now and where Spain is at. So by my calculations, wasn't a math major at East Carolina, it's going to be a 2:15 a.m. start for the Tar Heels if you were to watch that game Saturday night, or I guess Sunday morning, from where you're at. Your younger brother Drake is starting at quarterback for the Heels. Where will Luke May be at 2:15 a.m. Spanish time?
I'll be in front of TV, wide awake, watching little bro, man. I couldn't miss it for the world.
How special is it for you and your family? We heard Drake earlier this week say one of the boys had to play football because, of course, your dad was a quarterback for the Heels. Watching Drake's journey from being an Alabama commit, then following in your dad and your footsteps, going to Chapel Hill, waiting behind Sam and getting this opportunity, what do you think you're going to feel when you see him in that uniform running out there for the first time?
Yeah, it'd be really cool for sure, man. Just happy for him, and he's worked really hard. He's gotten to this point, and just super excited to kind of see how he does, see how he, most importantly, handles adversity. I mean, like anything in sports, I mean, things are going to not go your way every time, and I'm happy to kind of get to see him out there, get to see him competing, and it'll be exciting. Hopefully, they start off with a win and get the season rolling on the right foot.
Your dad, Mark, was also, as I mentioned, a Tar Heel quarterback, but I believe he was Drake's quarterback his coach before he arrived on campus in Chapel Hill, too. So walk me through this. Who's going to be a bigger wreck at Keenan Stadium Saturday night watching Drake, mom or dad?
I think mom, because mom has to hear about it from my dad. So, my dad's usually pretty cool and pretty calm during the game. And, I mean, he obviously kind of sees things out there and wants Drake to do well. But, I mean, it's a game, and he knows Drake's doing his best. I mean, at the end of the day, like, he loves him and he supports him no matter what. But it'll definitely be an exciting time, and I'm sure there'll be some things that Drake doesn't do well in my dad's eyes. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to be working to help the Carolina football team win. And it's not only Drake out there. I mean, got a lot of guys out there that are trying to do the best they can. And, I mean, obviously playing college athletics at a high level, I know just from experience, I mean, even some games when you're not really the opponent, is it up to your level? I mean, it's very easy to kind of overlook them, and I think that's something that everybody's got to learn how to manage and handle, and I'm excited to see how Drake and those guys do first couple games of the season, because second week, I mean, App's a really, really good team, and I think it'll be a good test for us early in the year.
Luke May is with us, joining us from Spain, talking about his brother's first career start Saturday night for the Tar Heels against Florida A&M. So how much different, though, do you think the feedback is going to be from Dad after the game for Drake than the feedback you got from Dad, considering he was a quarterback and played football?
I mean, me and Drake would both agree. I mean, feedback could be pretty similar. You know, I mean, even though my dad didn't play basketball at my level, I think he's watched it enough, and he played it in high school. And, I mean, he knows the game really well. And I think he might be a little bit harder on Drake just because he knows that position so well. But, I mean, my dad, I mean, he loves us and he cares about us, but he wants us to do the best we can. I mean, he's going to nitpick everything, and I think it'll be good for Dre to kind of hear from him, and especially after his first game, because I know it's going to be different kind of atmosphere than playing in high school. So I'm excited to see how he does. It'll be a really good game.
Who's better, Luke May at football or Drake May at basketball?
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. I played football not in high school, but in middle school, and I really loved it, and I was pretty good. But I have to say Drake's probably better at basketball. He's a really good athlete, really good player, and could have played basketball in college. I mean, we never know, because, I mean, I didn't really carry out my football dream. But I'd definitely probably say Drake's probably better at basketball than I am at football.
Luke May's with us here. I want to get to a couple other things since I've got you. Dennis Cox, who you were talking to just a second ago, is a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And I read somewhere that you were childhood friends with Mason Rudolph. Is that right?
Yeah, me and Mason are real good friends. I just spent a couple weekends this summer with him, hanging out with him, talking about the season. I mean, happy for him. I mean, I think he's in a great spot there in Pittsburgh. He's with a really good organization, and they got a big battle there at quarterback, and got some guys who are really, really good players. So it'd be interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, and that's where I want to get. And that's where I want to get real quick, though, Luke, because when you were the star at Carolina, the quarterback was some guy named Mitch Trubisky. So I didn't know if there was a relationship there as well. How closely are you keeping an eye on this quarterback battle in Pittsburgh?
I'm keeping a real close eye. I mean, I know Mitch, and Mitch is a really good guy, and had a great career at Carolina, and really talented kid, and I wish him the very best as well. So, I mean, I think Pittsburgh's in good hands, and they also drafted a quarterback who's one of the best, if not the best, in this past class, and I think all three of them have a really good chance. But I mean, obviously Mason being a friend since I was really young, and him and my dad roomed him and his dad and my dad roomed together at college. I mean, obviously, I'm pulling for him, but I think all three guys are really good players.
Luke May with us here. Got to talk about Tar Heel basketball as well. Did you get a chance at any point this summer to come back and hoop it up with this group?
I was back all summer trying to see how the guys were looking. I mean, obviously, they got a lot of guys back. They're a really talented team, and just trying to make sure their minds prepared for what they got coming this year, just because last year they were doing a lot of the hunting, and it's different when every night you're supposedly preseason number one, and everybody's going to be gunning for you. So I'm excited to see how they battle that. And like I mentioned earlier, just battling adversity and kind of seeing how everything works out in that stance. But they got a great team, and Coach Davis has done an unbelievable job. And I'm really excited to see how they do this year, because I think they're going to make another run at it. I think they got a great chance, and they got a talent to win it. So that's all you need to really know. And going into each game, you got to be confident and ready to play.
Like you said, a lot of guys back. We know the scouting report on Caleb Love and Armando Bacot and many of the others. But we don't really know much about Pete Nance, who transferred in from Northwestern. Can you give me a scouting report on him after watching him play?
Man, I'm not going to give too much. y'all see how Pete plays out on the court. And Pete's a great guy, really talented. Can play inside, play outside, defends, runs the court well. He's got a lot going for him. So I'm excited to see how he does this year in Coach Davis's offense. And he's a different player than Brady. So, I mean, I think that would be good because, I mean, just kind of give us a different dynamic because obviously Brady's Brady and Pete is Pete. And Pete needs to play his style of play. And I'm excited to see how him and Mondo play together because I think that could be a really dynamic duo.
Dare I say Pete Nance's game is similar to Luke May's?
I don't know. We got different attributes. He's almost 7 feet and got long arms, and he's probably a little bit more athletic. But I don't know if he can shoot it near as well as I can. But I think he's gonna have a great year, and I'm excited to see how him and Tar Heels do this year.
I heard it straight from Luke there. Okay, Brady's Brady shooting the ball, but Brady's not Luke May. Put it on the ESPN bottom scroll.
I don't know. I mean, Brady can shoot it, that's for sure. And he can really play. I mean, I think it'd be a really good shooting contest.
I'd like to watch that. Let's do that for charity. We'll figure it out. Get Luke May and Brady Manick 3-point shootout.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Hey, I know you're in Spain. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Best of luck with your pro career out there. And I know it's going to be an early wake-up call watching your brother play Saturday night. Thanks for squeezing in some time for us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. That's Luke May, Tar Heel great, joining us to talk about Drake May, who is maybe one day going to be a Tar Heel great. And that starts on Saturday night. Going to be exciting to keep an eye on. You know, on ACC Network, they're going to pan to the stands quite often, see mom and dad looking and watching nervously. You'll get all that.
I wonder what the over-under of Luke May highlights during the broadcast are going to be.
I'm going to write that down for Place Your Bets next hour.
Yeah.
I'm going to place that at 1.5.
I take the over.
Okay. You're right. It's going to be a blowout, so keep that in mind when placing your bets. I don't know if you can get that. I don't know if you can get that offshore or anything like that. Lot of stuff on the docket today. You are listening to The Adam Gold Show. I am Josh Graham, merely Josh Graham. Chris Lee, WRAL, going to be in studio with us in about 20 minutes. We got Grammar School. BDOT is going to drop by. That'll be a lot of fun. And a late add to the show, Steve Logan. Legend. Going to be dropping by at 2:15. Make sure you're around for the coach. But as we move along, coming up, find yourself somebody who will protect your secrets the way Christian McCaffrey does. This is The Adam Gold Show. So we wanted to get some of those offensive secrets out of McCaffrey because hopefully, the guy plays more than 3 games this year. That would be a big help for Carolina. But how exactly is he going to be utilized? Here's what McCaffrey had to say.
Putting the ball in the end zone is obviously the goal. And moving the ball north, getting first downs. He has so much knowledge in so many different areas. And I think being able to learn not just what your job is, but why your job is what it is ultimately equally as important. And I think just being able to play fast, it's a scheme that's meant to work. And so it's up to us to execute. So I don't know, that was a long answer. I didn't give you any information, but yeah, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that might be the gold medal Olympic winner for most useless piece of sound.
But the authenticity there at the end of like, I just gave you guys nothing. It's like, well, that's basically every soundbite these people give us. Let's be real.
No, it's like an Olympic gymnast You just stuck the landing for the most useless answer ever, and you're putting your arms out like, yeah, I've done it. I've said a lot of words without any substance whatsoever in those words. I learned nothing. Not a thing. You know, the goal is to get into the end zone. Every scheme is made to work. And you got Joe Person and other people there scribbling on their notepads. All right, yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's really good stuff. Find somebody in life you trust with your secrets the way I'm sure the Panthers trust Christian McCaffrey with all of their secrets. As I mentioned, Dennis, I got married earlier this summer, and a miracle happened shortly after my wedding.
What's that?
I don't know if I want to be sharing this story statewide across North Carolina, but...
Dump button's ready. You're good.
Got it. No, no, no. I am not big. See, Hayes Permar makes a lot of fun of me because I'm easy to make fun of. But particularly in my beach habits, I'm not one that ever really goes out into the water so much. I'll go knee deep. I'll go ankle deep. I can swim. I grew up with the pool. I know how to swim. It's not necessarily that. I just don't like going that deep into the ocean. I'm also a guy that camps out under the pier. That's where I like to hang out.
Okay.
And Permar is not a big fan of that. So, part of my honeymoon was going to Turks and Caicos. I was out there for a week with my lovely bride, Sarah Bradford. And the final day that we were out there, she motions over to me, come out into the water. And I'm thinking, you know what? This water is so clear, a lot clearer than the water I'm used to at either Emerald Isle or Myrtle Beach, even though both those places are lovely. So I go out into the water with my bride. And we're having a great time about chest deep in the water, Dennis, until 5 minutes into it, I felt my ring slip off my finger.
Oh, see.
My wedding ring fell off my finger.
Uh-oh.
And it's the ocean. It's the ocean.
But it's clear. You said it was clear water. Did you
so
find it?
I said to her, my ring just slipped off. You're kidding. So she races out to get a bunch of, like, goggles for us to search. Meanwhile, other people are figuring out what's up. We got, like, a search unit of 6 or 8 tourists looking for this ring.
Nice.
And here's the problem.
What's that?
We look in the distance. A storm is coming.
Even better.
Which means we have to get out of the water sometime soon. 20 minutes have passed since I lost the ring. We haven't found it. We're looking around. There are people praying, man, to see if we find this ring. Sarah Bradford thinks maybe it's drifted a bit with the current. And we're about chest deep. I'm thinking, the ocean's a big place. Where could this ring be?
Myrtle Beach.
And this is how she described it to me. She saw some fish converge to a spot. She looked down and saw the outer rim of the ring, grabbed it, and 5 minutes later, lightning storm, like you wouldn't believe, we have to get out of the water. She found the ring.
Nice.
That is a miracle that happened on my honeymoon. The second miracle to happen on my honeymoon. Yeah.
That's for your wife, not for you.
Yeah, it's an applause for her. How much better is that story because she found the ring?
I wish it washed up on Emerald Isle.
Yeah, that would have been great. One of those people that have what are those things called that you're walking around with?
Metal detectors?
Yeah, someone with the metal detector. You look inside the ring. Oh, 6/18/2022. Did some poor sap lose their wedding ring already?
Like, well, that ended fast.
So that was fantastic. Slightly better than Christian McCaffrey talking about Ben McAdoo's offense. Slightly better than that. I am so excited for week 0 football. Like, unreasonably excited to watch the Tar Heels on Saturday night. I just saw that former ACC quarterback Tommy DeVito, you remember him at Syracuse, is going to be starting for Illinois. They're playing the Pokes of Wyoming. I'm going to watch all these games. Like, for real. I am starved of football. I'll be watching all of this.
This is the Adam Gold Show.